Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Danielle McCartan, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan, WFAN.
Rolling along here on McCartan After Midnight on The Fan, we're joined by John Schmelk, good friend of the show, reporter, producer, podcast host for the New York Football Giants. John, welcome to the show. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Danielle. I appreciate it.
Before we even start talking about the draft, we kind of have to go into the Giants' offseason additions, subtractions, just to kind of set up the team heading into the draft. So who do you think was the Giants' most significant acquisition this offseason?
I mean, I think it was Kenny Golladay. I think that was a move they had to make, whether it was getting a top wide receiver in the draft or in free agency. And that was a big need. And I think they filled that one. So I think that was very important. I thought number two on that list was Adoree Jackson, because that second cornerback spot was also, in my opinion, a pretty big need. They filled that too. So I think they filled their two major needs. In order to do that, they had to let go of Kevin Zeitler, which kind of opens up a need, I think, at guard on the offensive line. But I think those two moves in the offseason by Dave Gettleman really set the Giants up at number 11, where they don't have to go a certain direction, or they can really just pick the best player that's left on the board.
The Giants were 26th in the league. I look it up, red zone offense in 2020. 26th. And I know he's coming off the foot surgery. Kyle Rudolph, I guess, brings just an air about him in the red zone that opposing defenses just have to account for in a game plan, no?
Yeah, I mean, I think you brought it up perfectly. I think the red zone is where he does his damage. He's got great hands. He has a huge catch radius. He makes difficult catches. He had, I think, 4 or 5 straight years where he had at least 5 receiving touchdowns. And the red zone is an area where the Giants had struggled last year. So, yeah, the Giants are going to use 2 tight end sets, I think, more this year with Rudolph and Ingram than they used last year. And in that way, Rudolph, I think, will be a very effective red zone threat next to Evan Ingram, who's probably a better guy to stretch the field a little bit.
Right. Now, you mentioned Zeitler. He had only missed 5 games in his entire career, allowed only 2 sacks last year, and committed only 4 penalties all in. I think it was 1,003 snaps. Is he the guy that the team is going to miss the most?
Yeah, I think if you look at the losses this offseason, I think that's the biggest one. I mean, you can make the argument that he was the team's best offensive lineman last year. So now you're left with 2 young guys, Will Hernandez, who lost his job midseason. Now that could be COVID-related too. We don't know how he really bounced back from that. And Shane Lemieux, who was a rookie 5th-round pick last year. So you put those 2 things together, and you have, I think, a need at guard. You know, they brought in a couple of veterans that are, you know, low-end starter, high-end backup type players. They brought in Fulton. They brought in Harrison from the Texans and Jets, respectively. But I think that's a spot where you could try to find an upgrade at some point in the draft. And the thing with guard, too, Danielle, it doesn't necessarily have to be a 1st or 2nd-round pick. There's going to be a good starting quality guard probably on the board with the Giants' 3rd-round selection.
So I can understand, too. Could you describe what the Giants' defensive scheme is or will be this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. You know, last year, I think dictated by personnel, Patrick Graham went with a very zone-heavy scheme. He blitzed a decent amount on 3rd down. Not a ton, but enough. But, you know, they don't have that traditional edge rusher to constantly pressure off the edge. They had Leonard Williams had a big year. But, you know, he's still not that A-plus edge guy. So they had the blitz, and they had a really good safeties. They had a guy like Logan Ryan who was really good at disguising. They didn't have that really good second corner. So it made sense for them to be a heavy zone team. And they did a bend-but-don't-break type of strategy.
Right.
But Patrick Graham also comes from the Bill Belichick school. And if you go down all of the Bill Belichick disciples, how he usually likes to play up in New England, they want to play a lot of bump and run man and blitz on 3rd down and send linebackers to bring extra pressure. So I think it'll be interesting to see with the addition of Adoree Jackson, if that sends Graham a little bit back to his roots in terms of how he's going to play in the secondary. We have not seen them step on the field yet since all these changes, so I don't think there's a way to know. But I do think that's one interesting thing that I'll be keeping an eye on this offseason.
Defensively, right? Let's say the Giants, and we'll talk about the first round in a second, but if the Giants do end up going defensively in the first round, is there a chance that if the best player available doesn't fit the scheme or the idea, would the Giants pass on him, or would they like make him fit?
I think what Patrick Graham is good at, and something that Joe Judge preaches on both sides of the ball, is that you do not pick your scheme and then force your players into your scheme.
Right.
You pick a player and then you put him in a position where he can do the things that he is good at. So I think if they see a player that they believe has a skill set that works, they will figure out a way to use him in their system. So I don't think they will cross players off because they not a quote unquote fit. Mm-hmm. In terms of scheme, might they cross a player off because they don't like his character or would it fit the culture? Yeah, I think that's a bigger possibility than going the other way.
We're talking with John Schmelk, host of the Giants Huddle podcast on Giants.com, right here on The Fan. Okay, let's talk about the draft. Let's talk about round one first. There are five players in this draft that the NFL itself labels as having Pro Bowl talent, which is the highest mark for any player, in this order: Trevor Lawrence, Kyle Pitts, Devontae Smith, wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver, and Patrick Surtain at cornerback. If any of these players are in fact available, will the Giants go best available at 11?
Yeah, look, obviously, I don't know what the Giants front office is thinking, so I'm going to give you what I think and right. All my research and stuff has told me, because we're not still in the building, although the COVID stuff, so we're all kind of in a situation where we're all kind of locked out. But in my opinion, I think those guys are all blue chippers. I think Patrick Surtain might be on the outside looking into that group. I think I've talked to, probably more than a dozen former NFL personnel people over the course of the last month. I've had Lewis Riddick on the Giants Huddle podcast, Brian Broaddus, a former scout. And it seems to me that the consensus blue chip prospects in this class are, I'm going to throw quarterbacks out because the Giants aren't going there, right? So Pitts, the three wide receivers, Chase, Smith, and Waddle. Throw in the two offensive linemen, Rashawn Slater and Penei Sewell. And then this is where you get some, depending on who you talk to, type of scenario, right? Some people have Micah Parsons in that group. I would say more often than not. Some people have Patrick Surtain in that group, but not all the time.
Okay.
So I think that's why when you look at some of these mock drafts, you're seeing 9, 8, sometimes all 10 of the first 10 players off the board in this draft could be offensive players. I don't think it's impossible. There might not be a defensive player off the board when the Giants get there. And it's actually funny. We did our first mock draft on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com on Friday. And the scenario that we came up with just picking players was all those guys got wiped out. Pitts was gone. All three wide receivers were gone and both offensive linemen were gone. And the Giants were sitting there and basically we had a chance to choose between Micah Parsons, Patrick Surtain, and then depending on what you think of that next group of offensive linemen, Elijah Vera Tucker, someone like that, Christian Darrisaw. And we ended up going with Parsons because we thought he was the best player on the board. But I think that's when you get to the point where, can you trade down to 15? Can you think about one of the offensive linemen? For me, if one of those playmakers or offensive linemen, those six guys I mentioned are there, you run to the podium, you take them. If they're all wiped out, that's when you start talking about seeing if someone wants to pick up the phone and move up with you.
Yeah, and that's a great segue because, I was thinking, I kind of tried to project it out myself a little bit. For me, I think I had available at 11 for the Giants, if they had to choose between Parsons, linebacker, listed as a linebacker, or Waddle, wide receiver, which way would you go?
I would go Waddle. I think the most important thing this season, besides winning games, which is always the most important thing, Danielle, is making sure you put as good of a situation around Daniel Jones as possible. If I had my choice between Waddle and either Sewell or Slater, by the way, I'd pick one of the offensive linemen. But if those guys are wiped out, I would pick the wide receiver next. The reason I would is you want to give Jones the best chance to succeed as possible. So you don't get to the end of the year and you say, well, if we had this or done that, could Jones have been better? You want to be left without a shadow of a doubt. And I think that's what my goal is for this draft. And what you like about Waddle specifically, and I'll talk about Smith too if you want, is that Waddle can fit into any one of these spots, all right, except for Kenny Galladay's. If Sterling Shepard, who does have an injury history, he's only played 16 games twice in his career. If he has to miss 4 or 5 games, put him into the slot. Boom, you're good. If Darius Slayton, your outside deep threat, he gets banged up. You know, Waddle's got deep speed. All right, put him outside. Boom, he's good to go. You can move him anywhere, and he'd then be the only receiver on the team as well that you can throw that little wide receiver screen to, and he's so fast and so elusive, he can turn a 2-yard pass into an 80-yard gain. Mm-hmm. And then Devontae Smith is just an unbelievable route runner and things like that, and he would be, you can fit him anywhere, slot outside, wherever you want to put him. So that's why I think in the modern NFL, even though I don't think the Giants are going to be doing a lot of 4 wide receiver sets, I still think that would be the right place to go.
Yeah, I mean, they could. But so now I just had a question pop into my mind. Out of Smith, Chase, and Waddle, what would be like your hierarchy for the three of them if, you know, they're available for the Giants, any one of them?
Well, I would put Pitts first. I know you didn't ask for that, but well, I'll put Pitts first. Yeah. I will put Jamar Chase second, and that's an easy one for me. Okay. And then I have kind of Smith and Waddle, frankly, even. I think it's almost like a chef's choice scenario because they're both very good. They're just good in different ways. I talked about Waddle. Smith is more of that technician, more of that route runner. He can win in a million different ways, while Waddle's more of a speed guy, more explosive, things like that. So I think it depends what your need is. If I'm starting a team, I would probably take Devontae Smith first. I'm not as worried about the 170-pound thing. I think he'll be okay. Yeah. He was healthy in college. I don't see the issue come up on tape. So if you worry about durability, you know, injuries, who can predict him anyway? He's never been hurt. I like him as a player. I think the Marvin Harrison and Isaac Bruce comparisons are fair. He's very good. So I would go Smith first because I value route running and the art of the receiver position, which I think he's a better player in that way than Waddle is.
Yeah, the art of. I like that. Okay, so beyond the first round, Giants hold picks number 42, 76, 116, 196, 201. Give me, I guess, their hierarchy of roster needs beyond that pick.
My stock answer to this is that you do not pick positions, you pick players. So I think that's going to dictate where you go. And I'll go back to that mock draft we did on Big Blue Kickoff Live. I had to pick the Giants second round pick. We had picked Parsons in the first round, and I looked at who was on the board, and I was unimpressed with the wide receivers that were left. I think 7 had gone off the board already by the time the Giants got to 42. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like any of those guys. I didn't think they were worth the bang for the buck. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, do I go edge rusher or do I go offensive line? There were a good number of offensive linemen left, but there are only probably 2 or 3 edge guys left that I thought were really good. I think 6 edge rushers had gone off the board already, including Joe Tryon. He was the last one that had gone. So I had a decision to make and it was tough. It was like, do I pick the edge rusher here? Because I know if I don't get one here, I'm not getting one, right? Right. You're not getting that edge rusher in the second round. They're going to get wiped out. It's not that deep of a class. You got to pick some kind of developmental guy you got to wait on. While I think offensive line is really important, I feel pretty good about being able to get a guy that can play guard for me at a pretty high level in round 3. Mm-hmm. So I went with the pass rusher, Joseph Asai, in that spot, only because I was confident that I could get that offensive guard in round number 3 because of the depth of the class. It's a very deep offensive line class. I like the class a lot. That's why I think you can't say this is my order priority with positions, because depending on the players and the class and how the draft is going, that's going to dictate what you do as much as your need.
We're talking with co-host of Big Blue Kickoff Live for the New York Giants. We're joined by John Schmelk here on The Fan. Why I wanted you on, like me, I know you're a research numbers guy combined with the eye test, the film study. I love it. Offensive lineman, then. Who do you like? In what order?
Going from the top?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Slater is the best technical offensive lineman in the draft. Like, if you want a guy that knows how to play the position, he'll get in there and go right away. Penei Sewell is just a monster. I mean, he's 340 pounds, and as a 19-year-old, he dominated college football. What is he going to do when he's 23 or 24? I mean, if you go back, you know, when the Cowboys picked Tyron Smith, he was a 19-year-old out of USC, right? And look what he turned into. Is that what's going to happen with Penei Sewell? So if I'm picking first, I'm probably picking Sewell first, and then Slater's a quick second. After that, you want to do mostly tackles? You want me to throw guards into the mix too?
Well, while I have you, do both.
So I think a lot of these guys are multi-positional. I think Darisaw is the next best tackle. Vera Tucker, to me, is the next best guard. I think both those guys will go between 10 and 20. Okay. I think Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State, probably a right tackle, could move into guard. He's probably in that 15 to 20 range, I would say. And this is when it gets interesting, because that next group is gigantic. It's huge. Landon Dickerson, Alabama. He's got 2 ACLs in college, another injury, a lot of injury problems, but he's a great player. Plays guard center. Creed Humphreys, Oklahoma, guard center, really nice player. Then you get a little deeper into the glass here. I'm going to look at my notes here just so I can give you names. The next group of tackles is interesting. I think a lot of these guys do have position flex. Alex Leatherwood out of Alabama. I think he's more of a guard, but he played tackle at Alabama his whole career. Good player. Sam Cosmi out of Texas. He can do both. Was a tackle in college. I think he can go into guard. You have Eichenberg out of Notre Dame. He's another guy that was a tackle at Notre Dame. I think he'll be a right tackle in the pros, but he can certainly go in and play guard. And then his teammate, Banks out of Notre Dame, Aaron Banks, he's another guy that can play guard and I think will be a very good player. Trey Smith out of Tennessee is a big-time guard. I think he can play. There's a lot of guys. Dylan Radins out of North Dakota State, teammate of Trey Lance. I think he's a guy that's a good guard tackle flex type of player. Jalen Mayfield out of Michigan. He was a really good tackle there. He didn't test well. I think he's more of a guard. But look at all these guys I'm listing. It's a deep, deep class, which is why if the Giants don't get one of those two elite guys early, you can easily find one in the second round if you want, but you might, if you get brave, you want to take a little chance and roll the dice a little bit. Maybe you trade up then, you use your fourth round and move back into the top half, back into the second round, something like that. I think you can find a good offensive lineman that can play guard at the top of that third round.
That's some really good perspective. For the future Giants, you kind of touched on it before. Daniel Jones, so everybody knows, has this season and next season on his rookie contract and then a club option for 2023. If the Giants aren't able to get a top-tier pass rusher and they are not able to get a good enough offensive lineman for him, is this the last year of prove it or we're moving on?
No, I don't think you can say that because, look, he still has his fourth year of his rookie contract left. We don't know where the team's going to be drafting in next year's draft, right? Will they be in a position to replace him? I mean, a lot of people think next year's draft might have one top 10 quarterback and that's it, depending on how the season goes. Now, guys can come out of nowhere. Look at Zach Wilson. No idea. Who knows? But no, I don't think you can say that. You know, what happens if he gets hurt, right? What happens if he gets hurt and misses 8-9 games of the season? I mean, anything could happen. So I don't think it's fair to say that you throw him away no matter what. Would I call it a make or break year? No, I would call it an extremely important year to see him develop. Because I think, Daniel, a lot of people miss, even though his counting numbers are down in year two, his touchdowns and stuff like that, he cut his turnover-worthy plays in half. According to Pro Football Focus, same number of passing snaps, cut them in half. That's a big step for him. His completion percentage went up. He was one of the best deep pass throwers in terms of accuracy in the entire league. I think according to Pro Football Focus, he was between the 8th and 10th graded passer with a clean pocket. So when you protected the kid, he played well. So I think there are things to be optimistic about. Now you want to see those improvements on the margins get reflected in production, which then turn into wins, right? So that's what you want to see this year. But I'm never one to say, I'm way too into nuance to just say that if they don't do X, Y, or Z, just throw them out. But is it a very important year for him? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, totally with you. And here's another thing too that kind of goes kind of under the radar. How much stock do you put into the fact that he had to learn a new Jason Garrett offense with no off-season program? I think this is a point that a lot of people seem to keep missing.
No, absolutely. And I think the way Jason Garrett and Joe Judge decided the team was best able to win games last year was to play a more conservative style, which I think impacted Daniel Jones's counting stats. They decided that, look, our offensive line is struggling. If we put that kid back there to drop back 40 to 45 times, look what happened in the second half of that Cardinal game, even at the end of the year. He was getting killed. I mean, you go to the second half of that Ravens game. They were chasing him down. They were not a team that was designed to be a 40 to 45 pass a game type of team. So I think that pushed his numbers down a little bit. And to your point, yeah, he was learning almost a completely different system. And it is something you have to figure out. Everything last year was weird. And this year is going to be weird too. So that's part of it. So I think you hope he could pick up where he left off, continue to play well, and the production gets better as he has better players around him. I mean, just look at the Jets with Sam Darnold. I mean, how much of his development was affected by what was going on around him? I was a huge Darnold fan, and he has not played well. I'm not saying he's played well. He has not. But I feel a lot of times people don't like to admit that quarterbacks are a product of what's happening around them. And I think that's when we have to see how Daniel Jones does as the talent around him gets better.
Yep, and that's something I, for 2 years, have been talking about, the talent around, the whole situation around Sam Darnold. I wish him well in Carolina. Yep. But finally, as we sit here today, mid-April, the sports books seem to have the Giants over-under win total pegged at 7.5 games. I'm taking the over. What about you?
I'm taking the over, especially with 17 games, which I'm still never going to get used to. Like, who goes 9-8 in a year? I just can't get over that. It's going to be hard. But look, if this team isn't over 500 this year and challenging for the division, I think it's probably a disappointment. You go into a year, you are this aggressive in free agency. John Mara said when he had his press conference a couple months ago, so I'm not speaking out of turn here. The owner basically said, I think this team is good enough to compete for a division title and a playoff spot. And if you want to compete for a division and a playoff spot, you better not go 8-9. So I would go over there.
Or leave it in the hands of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right. No, exactly right. Exactly. By the way, that still bothers me how people only played that 15-second clip of Joe Judge's press conference at the end of last year. And they omitted the first 30 seconds where he said this was our fault and we have to win more games and we have no one to blame but ourselves. It drives me nuts.
I know. Selective editing. Well, John, thanks so much for joining us tonight. And I can't wait to digest all this stuff and bring it to my listeners.
It'll be fun. Appreciate being with you, Danielle.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.